Welcome to the Smith and Rowland Show. Let's join our host, Alan Smith and Jeff Rowland.
We'll jump right into this next segment where you are streaming on Twitter today. It's our new platform for us. So head over there. I think this is a good episode to, you
Let's
know,
open it up to, on to my it goodness up. Sakes
because,
alive.
Some of this stuff is some of the most divisive stuff probably in Christianity.
Well, it really is. And us being peace-loving people, we are.
Yeah. Well, we would never do anything that's controversial. I mean, come on.
No.
But I'll say,
you know, a lot of the stuff that y'all been talking about, you know, I've heard people call it doctrine of devils. There's a very, even amongst the church, I've seen a very anti-Israel, you know, kind of a attitude.
There's an anti-Semitism in the church. But it's what I was saying. It's not. That's not a new thing. It started in the first century.
Yeah, it did. But just think about it. There's what would make your brain feel the need to do that?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, just think about it. I mean, Jesus wasn't. I mean, wasn't he Jewish?
Yeah,
pretty
exactly.
Jewish, wasn't he? But I'm just saying, what would make your brain do that? Here's what I've heard
some say from that side. Mm-hmm. The Jews are the ones that killed Christ. And that's so stupid. Because, listen, the Jews didn't kill Jesus. Jesus died because of me.
And Jesus laid down his life,
sins,
the way I understand it.
He laid his life down. Mm-hmm. But my sins, your sins, the sins of the world...
It's what put him there.
Was what put him on the cross. It wasn't the Jews. But which comes to a thing, I mean, that's an old thing. The development of anti-Semitism in the church began in the first century. But Alan, here in America, we can view these covenants. You was talking about the Abrahamic covenant. The line of attack against the Abrahamic covenant comes from nations.
Right.
God told Abraham, I'll make you a great nation. I'm going to bless them that bless you, curse them that curse
you. That's what it says.
So nations are after that one.
After that blessing, yes.
Yeah. And because of that, that's the church has some involvement, but that's a national type thing. He's making Abraham a nation, and then there are those that hate Israel nationally. And we can go down the list of all of those that kind of fall into that category, which is most of the world. But the Davidic covenant is a little bit different in that if you believe that the throne of David was a literal throne,
which we know it was historically,
and then, you know, for unto us a child is given, a son is born, and the government shall rest upon his shoulders. And he's the one that's going to sit on the throne of David, according to the word of God. If it was a literal throne then, it's got to be a literal throne in the future.
Well, it would have to be. I mean, even Herod, you know, here's a baby born and he shuddered.
Yeah, that's
exactly. I mean, what's the deal?
That's right.
A little baby's born?
Yeah.
And this guy is shaking in his boots. He knew something.
He knew something's up.
He knew something was up. And this little baby in a manger made you scared of your life. I mean, the world then, I think, knew. He knew we're in trouble.
Well,
the king is being born.
It's almost like the whole country went full-blown Planned Parenthood.
they really did.
Yeah. Well, that's I hate to say it. So that means
they really did.
That's not new either, Jason.
That's not new neither.
Well,
but it seems like that we're following the path of a lot of old things that's kind of plays into the strategy of Satan.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an attack against the Abrahamic covenant. There's definitely an attack against the Palestinian covenant, the land covenant. I mean, Israel's even against that. If you look at it in this respect, they've been given land away for peace, and it's never worked out.
Well, I mean, Israel, you got to remember, they're like the church. You got Christendom, then you got Christians.
That's right. That's right.
You've got Israel, the Jews, and you got believing Jews.
The believing remnant.
The believing remnant.
That's exactly right.
You got to also remember that.
That's exactly right.
I think it's interesting, like the Bible, the half the Bible is how terrible the Jews were. And remembering things.
Yeah, they were.
Like, well, and they couldn't remember where that water line was from.
they cut it in two every time, Jason.
Did you know I heard somebody say, if you study the Old Testament, the history of Israel.
Right.
Every time God would tell them to do something, they'd either disobey or they missed it or something. But always the second time, they got it right.
Yeah, yeah.
And they say that runs through. I haven't personally looked at that, but some trusted scholars have.
Well, I've noticed how I have to do everything twice. I don't know about you. I've noticed that.
But you know what? Jesus came the first time, they rejected him. They won't reject him the second time. They won't reject him the second time.
That's what it says.
And the book says that.
Yeah.
So there are, and I this caveat, the older I get, the more literal the Bible becomes to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a book of symbols. It's not a book of allegories. Watch this. I believe Jonah was actually swallowed by a whale.
Oh, you're one of those?
Big fish.
You're a big fish?
Big fish. I believe it actually happened.
You're a big fish theology.
Big fish. So my thing is if you're going to allegorize in one place, then where do you stop that?
You don't. They do the whole thing.
You have to.
Yeah.
All right, so there's over 2,000 references to a literal kingdom and the coming of a literal king.
Mm-hmm.
Over 2,000. So you got to allegorize all of that.
That's right.
You've got to allegorize every bit of that to make it to replacement theology.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you a question. The Word of God, the Bible, is a fantastic book. And a lot of people say, well, it's not literal, it's just all spiritual, yada, yada, yada. But my question is, and the way I view it, I think they're both true. I think it's fully literal and it's fully spiritual. Because
absolutely,
the natural is given reflection of the spirit, and the spirit's given reflection of the natural.
Sure.
So they both have to be there before that spiritual context works.
That's exactly right.
You see, so everybody, then the enemy has the church arguing over...
Well, what good is it to have a spiritual truth that cannot be literally applied?
Well,
that's stupid.
Well, it is, but that's the way some people argue.
But nonetheless, it brings me to another thing that I want to talk to you about.
Yeah, okay?
Because now watch this. Everybody knows, if they've listened to the Smith and Rowland show, you know that I believe that the rapture of the church is going to take place prior to the time of tribulation that's going to come upon the earth to try the whole earth. I believe that. Mm-hmm. I believe the Bible teaches that.
So you're one of those escapers.
I'm one of those. That's what I would be called, mm-hmm, that, yeah. And to be quite honest with you, if you don't believe that, that's okay. It's totally okay.
Here it comes, Jason. Here it comes.
I'll go on to heaven. You can stay down here. I'll see you when you get there. But watch this. Yeah. When I was talking earlier, when God speaks a word to the earth,
mm-hmm,
I believe it's in operation right then, though it may be sealed,
mm-hmm,
to some people's eyes. The word's still at work. And it's going to remain at work because the truth is eternal. It is of the essence of God. If truth is eternal and God spoke the truth, then when he spoke it, it already was, it is, and it will always be,
mm-hmm,
until its completion. I believe that. So Daniel was told, shut the words up of the book until the time of the end. On the day of Pentecost, Peter said that what was going on before the eyes of the people was what Joel spoke about.
Right.
That in the last days,
mm-hmm,
God would pour out his spirit on all flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
All right, Alan, if this principle is true, when a word from the eternal God is given to the earth, it's active and in operation from that time until its completion. That means that this day is a part of that day.
It does.
Mm-hmm. Because that day has never been completely fulfilled. We know that by the latter part of that prophecy.
Mm-hmm.
Both are connected to the end times, to the, mm-hmm, last days. So the last days actually started at the time of Christ. We know that.
Right.
At the time of Jesus Christ. But here's basically, the law ran till John.
Mm-hmm.
That's according to Christ. The prophets and the law were till John. Okay, till John the Baptist. All right. Then on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit come, and Peter said, hey, this is that. This is what Joel spoke of.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Joel speaks something way in advance. And still that word was in operation, mm-hmm. progressively unfolding till it got to Acts 2. Peter said, there it is.
Mm-hmm. He said, this is that.
This is that. So this day has to be a part of that day. Anything mm-hmm. that God has done from that moment is still a part of this day.
Mm-hmm. It'd have to be.
Would you agree with that?
It would have to be. Yeah.
So in that respect, those who would think that we would be of one sort of system of belief would be sadly mistaken, because we would be kicked out of that system of belief for me saying what I just said.
Yes, you would. And you know, and you have been.
You understand what I'm saying. The preface of what I'm saying is that anything that God has poured out on the earth is still here.
It has to be,
yes.
And it's still in operation.
It's still in
just
operation.
Like we see that the seven seals, when you get into the book of Revelation,
there you
it's
go.
Pretty apparent that they've been going on now for 2,000
years. For 2,000
They've been
years.
Opening up.
Since John got the revelation.
That's right. And at least four horsemen are out there running around. They got to be getting tired by now. But surely we can see what's out there as this day approaches.
That's exactly right. That is actually where I'm leading to. Is that to say that the book of Revelation was fulfilled in AD 70 would be wrong.
Mm-hmm.
To say that the book of Revelation had nothing to do with AD 70 is just as wrong.
Just as wrong, yeah.
Because the word was spoken, and when God speaks a word, it is active and in operation at that moment.
Mm-hmm.
Though not fulfilled.
Well, it's not full.
It's not full yet.
Mm-hmm.
So progressively, these
here
things
we are
have been
2,000 years later.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
they're still happening. Also, if all of that revelation was fulfilled, and I think most of them actually cite like 67, 68 AD, the reason they have to do that is that he had to write it then, because he had to write it before 70 before you could say it was fulfilled then.
Yeah.
So it's just kind of, you know.
Yeah, exactly.
Bible gymnastics. But.
Right.
But you have, and then evangelicals say it was written in 90, but, you know, puts it after that point. I think we have to say, and we could all agree, the world's in trouble.
Yeah, I would readily agree with that.
We have to say that our society is losing sight of what's important.
Yeah. It's because our relationship to truth is in the boundaries of time. Mm-hmm. And it's like, I believe this, I'm going back to what I was talking about before. I didn't get to this part yet in the teaching, but the sealing of the book, okay, I think it has something to do with our construct of time, because God was timeless, he's out of time, he's given us truth, putting it in time, and we can't see it because of the timeless nature of it.
Mm-hmm.
We're blinded to it. I honestly believe that that's part of what Revelation 5 is about when John's weeping because no one's able to open the seals.
That's what it says.
And then along comes Jesus, and he says, the Lion of the tribe of Judah is here to open the seals.
Mm-hmm.
Up until that point in the book of Revelation, Jesus, if you go back to his titles to the seven churches, all of these names given to Christ, here in chapter 5, now it becomes a Jewish name.
Yeah, it's kind of funny that you got those seven churches, and then you walk out of that, right in them basically not being mentioned again.
Yeah, that's right.
Revelation,
that's
all
right.
of a sudden it turns Jewish again.
That's right.
And
the whole tenor of it does.
Oh, yeah.
Everything, the tone of it.
Yeah.
The name, all of that sets a standard in a time. Okay, my point is that to then look ahead of that, okay, or deeper into that, past this event in Revelation 5, because we're so horizontal and we look at things chronologically, it becomes then hard for people to say, well, this seal's not been opened. This seal's not been opened. This is, it cannot be open yet. Yes, it was opened the moment it was spoken.
Mm-hmm.
Though veiled from our understanding, those things are in
operation.
We can
sure look back on it, and it'd be hard to argue with.
Yeah.
Historically.
It's like, how many earthquakes do you have to have before you realize that there's earthquakes in diverse places?
Mm-hmm.
How many wars has got to take place before we realized there's wars,
how
rumors,
many,
wars.
How many martyrs?
How many martyrs? Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And all of those things are signs of the second coming, not the signs of the rapture.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But we know it happens before that.
Absolutely.
Well, when we find the, you know, the state of the country, it's moral, social, politically, we're at such a decline, and those line up, let me put it that way, it lines up with a fallen nature. It appears to me that if the church is to get better, bigger, grow more and more down through the ages, looks to me like we're not doing a very good job.
Not at all.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, we can use some inflated numbers if we would like, but if you have proper, if we're turning this earth Christian, then I can't understand.
Somewhere we took a right turn when we should have turned left.
Somewhere another, sure. That theology is not playing out.
It's not.
Unless you just go in la la land somewhere and say, no, everything's getting better, everything's getting greater. And I'm not saying there's not some good things going on, but from a theological viewpoint.
Right, right.
You can't, some of this can be proven now since we're 2,000 years later, Jeff, just by looking back at history.
Just by looking back at history. There's been a cycle of these things taking place all the way down through history. And it's almost as if the church's understanding, for lack of a better word, evolves with historical narrative based on the realities they're seeing, which you've got to do that. However, we still have to grab a hold of the fact that when God speaks a truth, it's eternal and it's existent.
Mm-hmm.
It just is what it is. So the church, in some ways, similar to Israel, I believe is rejecting much of the truth of God, whether it be because it's sealed or whether it be because of something else. But if I can just use a verse of Scripture to kind of set a standard here of what I'm talking about. From Isaiah 29, 11 and 12 says this, "And the vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that's sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he says, I cannot, for it's sealed. And the book is delivered to him that is not learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he saith, I'm not learned." So there's a disconnect. And it's all around things that are sealed up. We're living in the age where all of these things that's been sealed up are becoming clearer. It's like you say, blindness in part happened to Israel, but it looks like that they're not as blind as they at one time.
It looks like to me blindness in part has happened to the church down through the ages.
Without any doubt. Without any doubt, that's true.
And we also know and have to confess that God's been recovering the truth of the Bible strongly for the last 500 years. But if the truth of God could have been lost during the Dark Ages, it would have been lost.
Yes.
Right. And so, but there again, the Catholicism had a contribution, is that it did preserve the Word of God, but it was also lost as far as the spirit and the understanding of the Word.
Yeah.
And so we have to admit, in the last 300 years, a lot that was lost has been recovered.
Yes. Yes,
and I've heard it said in arguments, well, the early church for the last 1,500 years didn't have such a doctrine. I'm like, no, but they had the Inquisition. You know, I mean, yeah, of course, they didn't.
And just,
basically, all Christianity was lost for 1,500 years.
And you know what, Alan? You cannot say, this just absolutely gets in my crawl to where I can't hardly stand myself. When I hear somebody say that teachings like the rapture is just, that's a new thing. It's a new doctrine that started with Darby and the Powers Court conferences. And it's a new thing, which, listen to me. The rapture of the church is as old as the Word of God. It's taught. John Darby didn't invent the rapture. Mm-mm. It became popularized a little bit during that time. Mm-hmm. But it was always a truth that was spoken in the Word of God. The prophets, some of the Old Testament prophets, though they did not see the church, did not mean they didn't speak about the church. Mm-hmm. I don't think they had full understanding because it was sealed mm-hmm. to their eyes. But I believe they spoke of even the rapture of the church. I believe that's true. I believe that's right. We also have illustrations of the rapture of the church presented to us in the Old Testament. Mm-hmm. Pictures of it, if you want to go to symbols and allegories and mm-hmm. things of that nature. If there is spiritual relevance to understanding the Scripture, you cannot deny that fact that it's mm-hmm. there. So there is going to be a catching away of the church. There is also going to be the establishment of a literal kingdom. If there was ever a Davidic kingdom in Israel, according to this book, there will be a Davidic kingdom in Israel, and the Lord Jesus Christ will rule and reign on a literal kingdom, though I am with my friends. Mm-hmm. The kingdom of God is alive in my heart right now. Mm-hmm. I believe that.
Well, it's like I've said before, Jeff, what replacement people tend to like to do is say, well, it's not a literal kingdom, it's in your heart. Like Jesus says, my kingdom's not of this world. Yeah. It's within you and this sort of stuff. And we've made this comment in Unplugged before that I'm an American and I have America in my heart. You know, that's just who I am.
Yeah.
But it doesn't mean that I literally have the ground of America in my heart. Mm-hmm. I mean, come on, somebody.
Yeah, that's right.
Is America, the USA, is it real ground? Yes, it's real. But I have the nature.
The spirit of it lives within me. That's exactly right.
And that's all that he was meaning.
That's exactly right. And furthermore, his kingdom, when established on this earth, will still not be a kingdom of this world.
Mm-hmm, that's right.
It is a kingdom from another world.
Well, it says that.
That's going to subdue the kingdoms of this world.
In 21 of Revelation, it comes down from heaven.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I don't know how you can. You got to do something with all. You can't allegorize all of those passages.
Well, listen, let me say this right quickly in our closing. You can take the first two chapters of the Bible, Genesis 1 and 2. You can take the last two chapters of the Bible, Revelation 21 and 22. And if you'll read those together, you have God's building program.
There you go.
In other words, God in chapter 1 and 2, if chapter 3 of Genesis had not happened, you would have went right into Revelation 21 and 22.
That's right.
So the first two chapters and the last two chapters, if you want to know what God had on his mind, read the first two chapters and the last two chapters. The problem is man had a hiccup in Genesis 3.
Yes.
And it caused the rest of that Bible. It caused the rest of it. But the original Bible would have said, without the fall of man, Genesis 1, 2, Revelation 21, 22, and that'd been it, and your Bible had been about that big.
And we need to challenge everybody that's listening
to read that. And they'll understand what God was doing.
That's right. That's the plan of God.
That's the plan of God. All right, Jason. That's our story, and we're going to stick
that's
to
right,
it.
That's right, Jason.
That's the story. Okay. Send us out of here with a glorious prayer.
There you go.
Bless our new Twitter people.
Lord Jesus, I pray that everybody that's supposed to listen to this will listen to it.
Amen.
And let the consequences be what they are, Lord. Mm-hmm. Let the response be what would be pleasing to you. Use and anoint everything that's said because, Lord, and Father, if we've said anything that's not true, bring it to our attention and we may repent of it. But God, can I thank you that when you speak a word, it just is. It's just so. And it will go forth and it will have fulfillment and fruit because your word does not return void.
That's right.
Thank you, Lord Jesus, for grace, for mercy, for the cross, for resurrection. And Lord Jesus, I pray that you'll anoint with your Holy Spirit everything that we put our hands to for your glory. Bless those that are listening, and we'll give you praise for all you do.
Yes, we will.
In Christ's name. Amen.
Amen.
All righty. We'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for joining today's Smith & Rowland Show. You can check out our website at kingdompropheticsociety.org and our daily unplugged podcast at smithandrowlandshow.podbean.com. You can also join us on Amazon, Apple, or Spotify.